Family Feud, some Iowa Republicans calling for leadership changes. We're talking with leaders A.J. Spiker and Steve Scheffler and GOP strategist David Kochel on this edition of Iowa Press.
Funding for Iowa Press was provided by Friends, the Iowa Public Television Foundation.
Iowa banks know you want honest advice about how to best reach your financial goals. Whether it's financing an education, buying a new home, growing a business, or funding retirement. Iowa banks, Iowa values. MyIowaBank.com.
Iowa Communications Network. The ICN is committed to the enhancements of distance learning and continues to meet the demands for greater access of high-speed internet by educational users. Iowa Community Foundations, an initiative of the Iowa Council of Foundations, connecting donors to the causes and communities they care about, for good, for Iowa, forever. Details at iowacommunityfoundations.org.
Alliant Energy, working to help small businesses control energy costs with energy-efficient equipment and advice on smart energy use. Information is available at alliantenergy.com.
For decades, Iowa Press has brought you politicians and newsmakers from across Iowa and beyond, celebrating more than 40 years of broadcast excellence on statewide Iowa Public Television. This is the Friday, September 27 edition of Iowa Press. Here is Dean Borg.
Iowa Republicans are facing strategically significant elections in the coming year. In November 2014, there's an opportunity to capture the U.S. Senate seat now held by Democrat Tom Harkin, and in Iowa, holding the governor's office, not to mention possibly controlling Iowa's General Assembly, and, of course, Iowa's upcoming caucus role in nominating a 2016 Republican presidential candidate. But with all that and more at stake, internal differences within the state's Republican Party structure are raising questions. What's the party's philosophical focus? And will unity ultimately prevail at the polls? Ames real estate agent A.J. Spiker chairs Iowa's Republican Party, and he also serves on the party's national committee. He was nominated for a second term heading Iowa Republicans by another national committeeman, Steve Scheffler of Des Moines. But another Republican, long-term strategist David Kochel, is outwardly criticizing Spiker's leadership now, and a few county Republican organizations are asking Mr. Spiker to resign. We're seeking insight. Gentlemen, welcome back to Iowa Press. And that's quite a litany, and I know maybe an indictment, but we're going to get the insight in just a few minutes. Along with questions asked by Des Moines Register political columnist Kathy Obradovich and Radio Iowa News Director Kay Henderson.
Mr. Spiker, the Appanoose County Republican Party and the Polk County Republican Party, the largest Republican party in the state, have called for you to resign. Will you?
Well, let me say there's been some misinformation about how we came about a process for moving the convention from June to July, and that confused quite a few people.
And when you say we, you
we
mean you
the
and
Central
the State
Committee.
Central Committee.
Right. And I sent out an email earlier today to several Iowa Republicans explaining the entire process, because as you get into canvas periods, into certification, it can get quite confusing on why the party might do certain things. So I wanted to address those in full, and I have done that, and I've addressed the concerns that the two parties have put forward.
So why would you assume that every other scheduled state convention, with the exclusion of 2008, which was moved because of flooding, was held at the wrong time?
Well, we have never had, to my knowledge, a state convention that has nominated someone for governor or for United States Senate. So we've never looked at using a state convention for the purpose of nomination. In seeing the field grow and not seeing the field move in a certain direction, the party decided to put it into an area where it was outside of the 27-day canvas period, that I certainly understood the law to provide that we would need to accommodate.
So, as I mentioned, Polk County Republicans and Appanoose County Republicans have asked you to resign. Have you talked to those political parties, the leaders of those political parties?
Neither one of them has contacted me or sent a resolution. And I have had contact with two county parties that have had questions about the caucus to convention process, the dates, and other than that, I haven't had direct calls from other county party leaders.
You mentioned this email that you sent out. Just one point about that email. You describe yourself as a Christian conservative. Aren't you also part of what's known as the Liberty Movement, in that you were active and employed by the Ron Paul campaign in 2012?
Yeah, I would say Liberty Movement, Christian conservative, constitutional conservative, fiscal conservative. I think many of us Republicans wear many stripes. So, yes, but I would be a Christian conservative as well.
Well, Mr. Kretschel, you've raised criticism about Mr. Spiker's leadership and the party management. This isn't really all about moving convention dates and caucus dates. What is the problem that you see?
Well, it highlights a larger set of problems: isolation, arrogance, and atrophy. Isolation because nobody at the state party, especially Mr. Spiker, went out and talked to anyone about moving the convention dates. We have five announced Senate candidates. None of them were consulted. Governor Branstad, who's the real head of our party, wasn't consulted. And, you know, nobody was talked to about this. They ran it through. They moved it back, taking 20% of the effective days to campaign against Bruce Braley and raise money. And they did it without any consultation with other Republicans. And when the cry went up, when all five candidates signed a letter saying change it back, he dug in his heels. He mentioned in the letter this morning that he talked to the Secretary of State's office for a lengthy period of time following the move into July with the convention, and he refused to listen. They told him there wasn't going to be an issue with the Iowa Code. So he dug in his heels. He put out a statement saying we're not going to bring this up again. And it wasn't until Matt Schultz, our Secretary of State, came out and said it was essentially disingenuous and false to say that the convention had to be moved into July, that he relented from pressure from our candidates, our elected officials, all four district executive committees, and a number of grassroots Republicans
to move it back.
We're going to
give Mr. Spiker a chance to respond, but I just want to ask you first, what should be done about this?
Well, they made the right decision and moved it back, but it wasn't until they had to buckle from pressure from our candidates, our grassroots, and our elected officials. And so it's the isolation, not talking to anyone. It's the arrogance of digging in his heels after he knew that it was going to damage our candidates. Even our candidates were all unified in saying, no, we need that extra month to campaign. We need that time to raise money. And then I mentioned atrophy as well. In his letter today, he said that the state party is not in debt. Well, it's easy to stay out of debt when you're handed $880,000 when you come into office. The problem is 55% of the cash on hand is gone. The party now has under $400,000 in the bank. He's running a deficit of approximately $25,000 a month at the state party. They aren't raising the money that they should. They've had months where they raise less than $3,000 in an entire month. We've got state representative candidates who represent 1/100th of Iowa who do better than that.
I want to go to Mr. Spiker here. There's been arrogance and isolation are
right.
Two words that are used. You've heard what he said. I don't have to repeat it.
Yeah. Well, let me say, as far as the date selection, when Secretary of State Schultz was willing to put in writing that he would certify the nominee of our party if we selected them at convention prior to the canvass period, that ended this discussion. Prior to that, their office had said, this is a gray area. It's not covered in code. The Des Moines Register had an article they did on the 26th. The Secretary of State's office said it was unclear. The first day after the primary that we could hold a nominating convention. So this is a gray area. After the Secretary of State's office said it was a gray area, I consulted our legal counsel. The legal counsel advised the party, and once the Secretary of State was willing to put in writing that he would certify the nominee of our party, we moved in that direction.
Mr. Chairman, you had all the evidence you needed before that. Congressman Steve King was nominated at a convention prior to the certification date. This has been a tradition for a long time. Also, it's in search of a problem that has never happened before. Why did you need to move it back a full month when we've never had this problem before? Were you counting on the worst possible outcome?
Well, let's also not forget that we had a caucus in Iowa where Mitt Romney allegedly won by 8 votes, and it swung back to Rick Santorum winning the state. And when that happened, it caused a great deal of embarrassment to not only the state party, but to Republicans in the state.
But what has that got to
do? Well, what it has to do with this is, in my attorney's second legal opinion, he points out a scenario, and yes, it's a worst-case scenario, but these things happen. If we have a candidate who comes in at 34.99% on primary day, and we end up with challenges at the county level, we could wind up with two candidates being selected, a primary selection candidate based on that canvas, and we could also wind up with a second candidate that's selected via convention. And people had advised, go ahead and hold two conventions. Let's just get the regular state convention done, hold a second one outside of the window, and we can nominate someone for that office. And the problem with that is, many of you know that there's been talk that the lieutenant governor would see a challenge at the state convention.
Okay, Kathy, you've heard the answers. Go ahead with
Well, I wanted to first bring in Mr. Scheffler, because you, first of all, nominated Mr. Spiker. Are you fully confident in his work here as chairman?
Yes, I am. You know, and I've served under more state chairs probably than any other committee person there. And if I were to call for the resignation of a chairman any time I didn't agree with him on a single issue or a series of issues, probably all of them would have had to resign at some point in time. And so, you know, we're all human beings. We all make mistakes occasionally. But for this to rise to the level of saying that he should resign, I think detracts from us electing Republican candidates. And, of course, the thing that disheartens me about this whole process, and I've seen acrimony, you know, with all factions of the party, is these discussions, these disagreements, in my view, should take a club should take place behind closed doors. Because the bottom line is Iowa's not a red state. We're a purple state at best. And if we're going to be on the same page, I believe we have to do this. And the bottom line is, whether we're you're a social conservative or an economic conservative or a liberty person, whatever kind of Republican you are, at the end of the day, we have a lot more in common than we do with the far left and Barack Obama, so we need to be united. And so,
Mr. Scheffler?
Yes.
Mr. Kochel says it's costing the party not only prestige but money. Campaign.
Well, you know, I was involved in the Pat Robertson campaign 25 years ago, and it's not any different. It's a different set of characters, but it's the same thing that happened 25 years ago, that when certain people aren't in places of leadership in the party, there's all this whining and moaning and groaning that if we don't get our way or if we're not in the top leadership positions, that we're going to take our marbles and go home. I mean, so it's nothing different than it's happened 25 years ago, and that's just politics. It's unfortunate some people have that attitude, but that's the way it is.
But are you worried that this dispute, which is open, it's been open for months and months, playing out in the press with disputes between the governor and Mr. Spiker, you know, other people saying that the party is not doing its job. Are you worried that this is going to hurt candidates and possibly Iowa's role in the 2016 caucuses, because this is playing out on the national stage?
Sure, I'm concerned, but the bottom line is some of the same people that talk about party unity are some of the same people that want this played out in the public arena, whether it's on Simon Conway's program or whether it's on talk shows or whether it's a passing resolutions. And again, I'm not opposed to somebody having a disagreement or even having a very vigorous conversation. But for this to play out in the public arena by some people that want party unity, it seems like a double standard.
When you say some people, are you specifically?
Well, I'll let you draw your own conclusions.
Let me tell you why this needed to be played out in the public arena. Because when the private phone call happened between AJ and the Secretary of State's office, he wouldn't listen. He dug in his heels. His first instinct was to cut the legs out from under our Senate candidates. And it was the wrong thing to do. I would much rather this be done in private as well. But this really gets to what the priorities are for a party. You know, we do have a Christian conservative wing. We have a liberty wing. I'm from the candidate wing. I care about whether or not our candidates are best equipped to run and win elections. And when I see 25 tweets on Syria, 4 tweets on Common Core, 0 tweets talking about our United States Senate candidates, I'm disturbed. When there are 18 retweets of AJ, Ted Cruz, Rand Paul, and Donald Trump, and 0 retweets on their social media of Governor Branstad and Kim Reynolds and Iowa's team, and any of our 5 Senate candidates, I think our priorities are in the wrong place. I want to see us be in the best possible position where our candidates can run and win elections. That's what we're here for.
Mr. Spiker, what's your response to that?
Well, you know, David was the advisor to Mitt Romney's campaign. And I'm not going to take advice from the advisor to Mitt Romney's campaign. This party needs to move forward and stand on principle, and we're going to win. You look at Ted Cruz in the well of the United States Senate. He's charging up the grassroots, people who have been ignored for years, and they're absolutely a tsunami ready to go to work for the GOP. And we have people that say, oh, we shouldn't stand on issues. I couldn't disagree more. You know,
oh,
the sanctity of human life.
Issues. In fact, the grassroots have been charged up to get you to change the convention date. That's what's charged
here.
The grassroots up. We're seeing,
you know,
county
the sanctity
all
of
over.
Human life, Second Amendment, the defense of traditional values. These are things that our party stands for.
Sure, they're
and,
in the platform.
And you're bringing in people like Ken Mellman trying to get the party to move towards acceptance of gay marriage. These things aren't going to happen. The party's going to stand for its values.
Well, let me ask you this, Mr. Scheffler. If let's say we have three types of Republican candidates. One would be a constitutional-focused person focused on civil liberties and the Constitution, small government. Second would be a fiscally oriented business conservative. Okay, business oriented, fiscal conservative. The third would be primarily someone who's interested in promoting Christian conservative values. Which of those three types of candidates would have the best chance of winning the White House for Republicans?
Well, I think for any candidate to win the White House, they've got to be basically combine all those elements. Mm-hmm. Basically, and I agree with what AJ said, if our party and our candidates don't stand on principle, we are going to lose. I mean, when Governor Branstad first ran for lieutenant governor in 1978, he was perceived as far to the right as you could possibly get. He talked about life. People like Chuck Grassley, these people got elected. And so based on all the hearsay that candidates can't get elected when they talk about a full menu, both social and economic issues is malarkey.
Is that realistic, though, to have one person embody everything that everyone in the Republican Party wants? You're still going to have somebody who probably has a primary focus on one of those areas, right, AJ?
You're going to have candidates that appeal to a wide range of people. But what you see more than anything is people are sick and tired of what they're getting. They're sick and tired of us putting up candidates who say they're going to do something and they don't do it. And if you look at people, you look at Mike Lee, Ted Cruz, and Rand Paul in the Senate right now. Never in the history of the United States Senate have people with so little tenure in the Senate been so powerful. And why? And the reason is people are sick of what they're getting. Yeah. We've put up candidates like John McCain and Mitt Romney where we have to wonder, are they the Etch-a-Sketch candidate? Are they going to be this today and that tomorrow? You know, we need candidates who we know where they are. They're solidly grounded, and those candidates of principle win.
Who do you think fits that bill right now?
Well, I think Senator Grassley is a wonderful example.
Senator Grassley for president?
Yeah, absolutely. Senator Grassley is someone who has he's kept his faith. He minds the Constitution.
And what about somebody in the 2016 hunt at this point?
2016 hunt, I think it's wide open. But I think people want somebody who stands on principle.
What about that, Mr. Kochel? Candidates, the Republican Party has not had good success with presidential candidates in the recent cycles. And Mr. Spiker is saying it's the fault of nominating the wrong person. Who are you saying in 2016?
Well, I think it's far too early to know even who's going to run and to say who should be our nominee. You know, Mitt Romney wasn't not conservative enough to win an election. In fact, he ran ahead of Steve King in the 4th Congressional District in Iowa. He had the support of social conservatives. He had the support of economic conservatives. We didn't run a good enough campaign. I take my share of the blame for that, of course, as the Iowa advisor for Governor Romney. We got beat by a turnout operation that was second to none. I give credit to the Obama campaign. They were also very successful in defining our candidate as a Wall Street outsourcer, and you know, we suffered from it at the ballot box.
Mr. Scheffler, your body language and your exclamations seem to indicate you have something to add.
Well, first of all, Mitt Romney was our nominee, and certainly he was far, far preferable to the alternative, and so we all supported him enthusiastically. But he, like John McCain, had some people here in Iowa who basically, I don't think, had any recognition that grassroots people mattered, and the campaigns were just not run very well. And the bottom line is, when you have candidates who are not willing to talk about a broad range of issues, you're going to get your clock cleaned. And whether it's been Bob Dole or whether it's been Mitt Romney or it's been George H.W. Bush. We've had a procession of candidates who just don't want to talk about issues. And then, unfortunately, after some of them get out of office, you know, then they begin to talk about issues that are not popular with the base at all. So,
issues such as?
Well, let's just take an example. You know, Laura Bush talked about supporting the so-called marriage equity. You've got people like Dick Cheney. You got people even like Dave Kochel talked about after he was done with the Romney campaign talk about it. And these things are just not productive. And that's what gives the base reason to wonder, are candidates genuine when they run for office, or are they telling people what they want to hear when they're running for office?
So I'm interested in what your reaction may be to what Pope Francis said about the Catholic Church, in that the church needs to not talk as much about abortion and gay marriage.
I mean, I haven't studied his what he had to say altogether, but I don't think he was in any way, shape, or form talking about diluting the message of Jesus Christ that marriage is between one man and one woman, and that life is precious from life to, from conception to natural death. I think probably what he was alluding to, the fact was the church needs to talk about the full menu of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
And given that, would you support the Republican Party of Iowa doing the same?
Doing what?
What you just said, and that is talking, de-emphasizing abortion, same-sex marriage, and talking more about broad issues.
I wasn't talking about the Pope de-emphasizing issues. I'm just thinking he was talking about other issues that needed to be brought to the table that were dealt in biblical terms. I don't think that they should be. In fact, if you remember Mitt Romney's campaign, and you remember John McCain's campaign, how many times did they ever talk about social issues like life and marriage? I don't think they talked about it very much at all.
I'm going to go to Mr. Kochel. Mr. Kochel, the same question to you. Would you support Kay's question on de-emphasizing some of the hot-button issues and going more to a broader litany of issues?
I think it depends on where the election is being held, the candidates that are involved in the election. I did work in 72 congressional districts in 2010 where Republicans won office from Democratic office holders. Almost all of them were pro-life. All of them, I believe, supported traditional marriage. What I'm saying about issues like that is that, first of all, we should make the party hospitable to people like me who support marriage equality, who support the freedom to marry. We shouldn't run us out of the party. We shouldn't do as you did, AJ, which is go on the insiders the week after I said I would support same-sex marriage and call the Democratic Party the party of gay marriage. That only upset thousands of younger Iowans, many of whom supported Ron Paul, who support the freedom to marry. You know, that's the wrong thing to do. We need to make the party hospitable to all points of view, people who are willing to embrace our values and our issues as broadly as we can write them.
Mr. Spiker, what's your response?
Well, my response is that you're correct in that we need to welcome new people into the party and people we disagree with. That's I completely agree with that part. What I disagree with is that somehow the party needs to abandon its core principles. And marriage is one of those principles of the party that is a cornerstone. And the largest group within the Republican Party is committed Christians. So if you want to abandon one of the major tenets of Christianity, which is marriage, is a sacrament for most people, then you are going to drive people out of this party who are committed Christians. So I'm not willing to go in that direction as the chairman of the party. And as far as going on, I can't remember if it was this program or another program, calling the Democrat Party the gay marriage party, I can tell you that you and Ken Mellman brought probably 50 to 100 telephone calls to RPI, way more than I've gotten regarding this Senate race, saying, what the heck is the state party doing? Why are you embracing gay marriage? So people take you and some other people doing a gay marriage event as if it's the state chairman of the Republican Party of Iowa. So I'm happy to put some distance between us
on that. Mr. Scheffler, Ted Cruz got a lot of attention with his talkathon. We're heading toward a showdown on whether to defund Obamacare, possibly with complications for the federal budget. Did Ted Cruz help Republicans, generally speaking, or did he hurt?
Absolutely. And I think the reason why he's such a rock star is because Republicans in the past, whether it's John McCain or Lindsey Graham or his ilk in the U.S. Senate, have basically de-emphasized the base. They've slapped the base in the face repeatedly again and again. And when they see if somebody like this who's willing to take a stand, knowing that they're going to take all the pot shots from the left and people within their own party, then people in the ranks, in the base, are saying, go for it, and we need more like you. Same thing when Rand Paul led the filibuster on the drone. So you bet. I mean, it's absolutely what's needed. We need more people like that.
Do you agree, Mr. Spiker?
Oh,
Ted Cruz is coming here to Iowa.
Yeah, Ted Cruz is headlining our fall dinner. It's going to be a wonderful event. We had a huge reaction based on his filibuster. And I can tell you, that's the kind of thing. The Republican Party needs that energy right now. And people like Ted Cruz are bringing that energy into the party.
And Mr. Hatchell, do you agree? Is Ted Cruz helping or hurting?
I think he's helping himself a lot. He's raised his profile, and he's put some spotlight on Obamacare. The thing is, we were already having a full conversation about Obamacare. Unfortunately, what he did didn't do anything to slow it down
and
in the Senate. So that's
down,
the real issue.
If the government shuts down, who gets blamed?
Well, hopefully the president takes his share of the blame, because he certainly has his share of the blame, because he's unwilling to compromise on spending, which is where we all agree.
Mr. Scheffler, this past week, Congressman King said you need everybody pulling the same harness. Mm-hmm. To listen to you guys talk, that is not happening in the Iowa GOP. Do you have any advice for Iowans who look at this discussion and think that there are irreparable divisions within the party that can't be healed with the current leadership?
I don't think they're irreparable at all. In fact, what I've been doing as I'm on the road 3 and 4 nights a week is repeatedly telling people that we have much, much more in common, whether you're a mainline Republican or a social and economic conservative or a liberty person. But those differences that we have one another that have to do with logistics or even issues I think are a fine thing where we can talk about openly and vigorously, again, without eliminating anybody out of our party. But in terms of logistics or disagreement with somebody, again, those kind of disagreements need to take behind closed doors. And again, it's a very small minority within our people that like to raise this rhetoric to its highest level. But again, I want to repeat this. Some of the same people talk about party unity are the same people that seem to thrive on spending the biggest share of their time trying to divide by raising the rhetoric and making public statements, hoping it's going to make the press.
I'm going to interrupt just for Mr. Kochel. Yes, thank you very much. Mr. Kochel, you get the final word. 30 seconds is what we have left.
Well, this coming January 2nd marks the 30th anniversary when I first walked in the Republican Party of Iowa headquarters on High Street. I started as an intern. I worked my way up to field staff the year that Ronald Reagan was reelected. I was the executive director in 1995 and 1996. I've never seen the state party in worse shape. For heaven's sakes, we don't even have a paid professional finance director at the party. You can't even raise enough money to afford someone to raise money. We've got to do a better job at the state party. I think there are 2 or 3 paid staff people at the party. When I was there, it was 8 or 10 or 12 people busy working to elect Republicans.
Yeah. And we are out of time. I think we could have gone for an hour. Thank you very much for being with us today. And we'll be back with another edition of Iowa Press next weekend, same time, 7:30 Friday night, noon on Sunday. I'm Dean Borg, and thanks for joining us today.
Funding for Iowa Press was provided by Friends, the Iowa Public Television Foundation.
Iowa banks know you want honest advice about how to best reach your financial goals. Whether it's financing and education, buying a new home, growing a business, or funding retirement, Iowa banks, Iowa values. MyIowaBank.com.
Iowa Communications Network. ICN's connectivity offers Iowa's rural hospitals and clinics access to telemedicine opportunities. Iowans can eliminate distance barriers by receiving medical treatment closer to home using remote specialists located miles away. Iowa Community Foundations, an initiative of the Iowa Council of Foundations, connecting donors to the causes and communities they care about, for good, for Iowa, forever. Details at iowacommunityfoundations.org.
Alliant Energy, working to help Iowa small businesses become more profitable with energy-efficient heating, cooling, lighting, and more. Information is available at AlliantEnergy.com.